Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 15th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
China tries to avoid taking a hit from U.S.-led sanctions against Russia.
Stocks fall overseas and Hong Kong plunging almost 6%.
The NASDAQ 100 enters the day in bear territory.
And the Fed begins its two-day policy meeting.
The search continues for the gunman who shot homeless men in New York and Washington, D.C., plus China's COVID rate climbs, the numbers since the beginning of the pandemic. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower. It's sports. NFL free agency underway. The new Yankees joined the team in Tampa, and a scary day for a star of the Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 26 points. Dow futures down 206. NASDAQ futures down 65. The DAX in Germany is down 2.25%. 10-year Treasury up 13/32, yield 2.08%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.79%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 5.8%. It's at $97.07 a barrel. John.
And Karen, we'll have more on the markets in just a minute. But first, the latest on the war in Ukraine. Shelling continued overnight with buildings hit in the capital, Kyiv. Meanwhile, the U.S. has warned China about any support for Russia's invasion. That end of the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
This was the first high-level meeting between the two since the invasion started, and the U.S. calls it a substantial discussion. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says the message was clear.
If China were to decide to be an economic provider or to take additional steps there to Russia, they only make up 15 to 20% of the world's economy. The G7 countries make up more than 50%. So there are a range of tools at our disposal.
China's stance is that the U.S. has been putting out misinformation and that it just wants to be a peacekeeper. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And China also wants to avoid being hit by U.S. sanctions. We get that part of the story from Bloomberg's Amy Morris in our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi says China, quote, is not a party to the crisis, nor does it want the sanctions to affect China. It is the most explicit statement yet on the impact of American sanctions over Russia's war. Investors are growing more concerned that Chinese companies could face similar penalties after Russia asked China for military and financial aid. The U.S. has also repeatedly warned China to not help Russia try to evade those sanctions. China needs to maintain good relations with the U.S. and its partners to meet its economic goals. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. The war in Ukraine will have a big impact on the economies of all 50 states here in the U.S. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Although the U.S. has limited trade ties with Russia and Ukraine, businesses from beer breweries in Missouri to semiconductor plants in California would see an impact. That's according to an analysis by Moody's Analytics. Energy-producing states like Alaska and North Dakota would do better than others since the conflict is boosting oil prices. But the two states most dependent on cars and driving, Alabama and Mississippi, would likely suffered disproportionately from an energy shock. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, turning to the markets, we are seeing more pressure on U.S. stocks following yesterday's 2% drop for the NASDAQ. In fact, the NASDAQ 100 index closed in bear market territory. Sarah Poncek, Senior Wealth Strategy Associate at UBS Private Wealth Management, says the market is being hit by a 1-2 punch.
Not only do we have a Federal Reserve that is now going to be increasing interest rates, but at the same time, when we think about the Russian invasion of Ukraine, that has major implications for global growth. It has major implications for the inflation outlook. And we all know at this point that the Federal Reserve is so unilaterally focused on inflation.
UBS Private Wealth Management Sarah Poncek says the NASDAQ 100 has dropped 21% from its closing high back in November.
And Karen, we're also seeing the selling continue overseas. Let's get the very latest live with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, John and Karen. European stock markets in the red this morning. That's after a session of relentless selling in China earlier. Concerns about the country's ties with Russia adding to persistent anxieties about government regulatory pressure. That sent shares on a downward spiral, with Hong Kong's Hang Seng closing down 5.7%. China's CSI ending the day more than 4.5% lower. Here in Europe, 1 hour into the session and all 20 industry groups in negative territory. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Well, as we mentioned, weighing on the markets, particularly here in the U.S., is higher interest rates. Well, today the Fed begins its two-day meeting where it's expected to begin the rate hiking cycle. And Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Even a wink and nod are rare when the Federal Reserve contemplates policy. In the past few weeks, central bankers have turned to the bell and siren, signaling rates are headed higher to combat inflation, and most likely starting this week. Bloomberg Economics anticipates a quarter-point increase 2 years after the pandemic struck, forcing emergency Fed action to cut rates to near zero. The question now is, will the Fed's new mission be too little too late as inflation burrows in? Vinny Dow, Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. One other note on the Fed this morning. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin says he won't back President Joe Biden's nominee for the Federal Reserve Vice Chair of Supervision, Sarah Bloom-Raskin. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
It likely dooms her confirmation in the Senate, given broad Republican opposition. Manchin, who represents coal-rich West Virginia and supports an expansion of oil and gas drilling, joined Republicans in opposing Raskin over her stance on climate change. Raskin has written in the past in support of the Fed increasing its attention to financial risks from climate change, but said in her confirmation hearing the central bank had no place in mandating how capital should be allocated among industries. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, in corporate news, Discovery paid CEO David Zaslav more than $246 million last year, making him one of the highest paid executives in the U.S. More than $200 million of that came in stock options, and Zaslav is about to close one of the media industry's biggest mergers. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 507 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barr now with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you, sir. The mayors of New York City and Washington, D.C. are asking for the public's help in the search for a gunman who has been stalking homeless men, killing at least two people and wounding three others in less than 2 weeks. Police in the two cities released multiple surveillance photos, including a close-up snapshot clearly showing the man's face. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Washington, D.C. is not manufacturing guns. New York City is not a gun manufacturing city. But the guns are ending up on our streets.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser agrees with Mayor Eric Adams.
As we work to locate the subject, we're calling on all of our residents who are unsheltered, both in D.C. and New York City, to seek shelter.
Mayor Bowser says in each case, the homeless men were shot as they slept in the street. Legislation aimed at banning abortions in Idaho after 6 weeks of pregnancy is heading to the governor. The state house approved the law that allows family members to sue a doctor who performs one. The legislation is modeled after the Texas law. Opponents of the Idaho legislation say it's unconstitutional. China saw more than 5,000 new COVID-19 infections for the first time since the early days of the pandemic. Outbreaks of the Omicron variant prompted officials to lock down more cities and impose restrictions. Supporters for detained WNBA star Brittany Griner called for her release from prison in Russia. Griner was arrested after customs officials said they found vape cartridges containing cannabis oil in her luggage. At a news conference in Los Angeles, Project Islamic Hope director Naji Ali called on the Biden administration to negotiate the release of all Americans detained in Russia.
It's very troubling for Brittany Griner. Not only is she an African-American female, she's a member of the LGBTQ community, who Russia tries upon.
Ali, noting former President Trump's relationship with Vladimir Putin, says if it takes reaching out to Trump to get Americans home, then so be it. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And it is coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Steshauer.
Thanks, John. NFL free agency underway. Jets and Giants obviously need better players. Both have deals to help their offensive lines. Giants are adding Mark Glowinski, starting guard the last three seasons in Indianapolis. Another guard, Laken Tomlinson, comes to the Jets from the 49ers. Jets also adding tight end C.J. Azuma, who just helped Cincinnati get to the Super Bowl. And the Jets are re-signing wideout and all-pro kick returner Braxton Berrios. Looks like Mitchell Trubisky will be the replacement to Ben Roethlisberger as the starting QB in Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson. NFL teams now interested in acquiring him from Houston now that a grand jury declined to press sexual assault charges. Watson still faces 22 civil lawsuits, and he will be deposed today. The new Yankees, infielder Josh Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, the young catcher Ben Rortfeldt, joined the team in Tampa after the trade with Minnesota. Yankee GM Brian Cashman spoke with the Yes Network.
Excited because we feel it upgrades us at third, short, improves our, you know, the player that we had in Glaber at second. You know, we have a lot of versatility from it, so I think it settled off a lot of business needs-wise.
In Port St. Lucie, Mets slugger Pete Alonso will be in full drills today. Sunday night, as Alonso began to drive across the state from his home in Tampa, he got hit by a car that ran a red light. Alonso's car flipped over three times. Fortunately, he's okay. NBA, another loss to the Lakers in L.A. They trailed Toronto by 21 in the first quarter. Never has LeBron James been on a team this bad. Lakers have lost 20 of their last 28. John Steshauer, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures indicate a lower open. The Dow futures right now down 248 points. That's down about 0.75%. S&P 500 futures right now 32 points lower. And the NASDAQ futures down 93 points, down 0.7%. And the selling in Europe continues. The Stock 600 now down 2.11%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg weather from Rob Carolyn, partly to mostly sunny today. The high temperature topping out at 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm. The high, about 65 degrees. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are falling as a relentless sell-off in Chinese shares buffeted global markets, adding to concerns about the war in Ukraine and imminent Federal Reserve tightening. U.S. stock index futures are also lower. Crude oil extending its retreat. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 31 points, Dow futures down 233, and NASDAQ futures down 90. The DAX in Germany is down 2.3%. 10-year Treasury up 9/30 seconds, yield 2.09%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil is down 5.3% on $5.47 at $97.55 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.3% or $25.40 at $19.35.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0998 against the dollar. British pound 1.3023. The yen's at 117.92. And checking Bitcoin this morning, it's lower, down 0.6% at $38,480. And today we are looking for the producer price index. It's at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with Empire Manufacturing. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Russia's offensive in Ukraine has edged closer to central Kyiv with a series of strikes hitting a residential neighborhood. It comes as the leaders of three NATO member countries, Poland, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia, plan to visit Ukraine's embattled capital. Meanwhile, a narrow diplomatic path is open as Ukraine and Russia plan another round of talks for today. The NBA has fined the Nets $50,000 for letting Kyrie Irving into their locker room during a game in which he was unable to play because he is not vaccinated against COVID-19.
The Warriors beat the Wizards 126-112. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg. Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street. China seeking to avoid taking a hit from U.S.-led sanctions against Russia. Well, let's get this morning's update on the war on Ukraine now from Mark Champion, Bloomberg senior reporter for international affairs. Mark, let's start there. Is there an indication China is helping its ally, Russia?
Well, we don't know yet, but the U.S. Seems convinced that China has made the decision already to help financially. And then has been requested by Russia to provide weapons of the kinds that the Russians are running out of, and, you know, quite from the high end of drones right down to ration supplies. So whether the Chinese say that this is misinformation, you know, clearly there's a big hit that they are, you know, going to take if they go forward with it. And it is a big moment, actually, in a decision on the Chinese side of whether or not to back Russia, and on the U.S. side, whether or not to really go after China in terms of sanctions.
What, if anything, came out of those talks that took place in Rome yesterday? I know they were scheduled to take place before Russia's invasion, but the U.S. and Russian officials meeting in Rome, what happened there?
Well,
Chinese officials, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know a lot of detail, but they went on for 7 hours, and each side came out, you know, not kicking and screaming. They seemed to think that they had been substantive. The main purpose wasn't really to negotiate. It was simply to lay out the concerns, in particular on the U.S. side. And try to make the argument for why this would be a bad move for China. China, no doubt, was pushing back about why they think that, you know, for the U.S. to sanction China would be unwise. And the Chinese routinely described that kind of third-party sanctioning as illegal.
Yeah. We're getting word this morning the Polish prime minister, his Czech and the Slovenian counterparts, they're going to make a trip to the capital of Ukraine today by train. Do we know any more about that?
We don't know a great deal. This is something that you know, was done, for example, around the war in Georgia in 2008, yeah. When leaders went down there as well from Eastern Europe, just to show solidarity, to show you know, their support. So politically, it will be, you know, an important moment, actually, for the Ukrainians, who, despite all the aid and words of support, do feel like they're fighting this war alone. So, you know, it will be, you know, in terms of a gesture, as a political gesture, it'll be important, obviously less so in terms of the war on the ground.
Is Putin, do you suppose, hoping that Europe's resolve may falter at some point as the flood of refugees continues?
I'm sure he does. You know, we don't have a lot of, you know, insight into the thinking of Putin right at the moment. Most assessments of, you know, people who spend their careers watching him and trying to understand what he does were wrong. You know, ahead of the war, the people who knew him best or thought they understood him best were most likely to think that he wasn't going to invade. He did. So he clearly was surprised by the level of, he prepared for sanctions, but he clearly was surprised by the level of sanctions and the level of unity and the response that's come from Europe. I would think that he does hope that, you know, the refugees will force a change over time. But that's very hard to have any kind of clarity on.
What's the next thing you're looking out for in all this?
Well, it's really, you know, the number one thing is what happens on the ground in terms of the conflict. It seems to be rather stalled at the moment from the Russian point of view. And the big question is whether they're simply regrouping after having messed up their initial strategy. They're having to kind of completely reconfigure on the ground. And if they're simply regrouping and will have the capacity to then push forward and try and achieve the goals that they had, or if they really have run out of steam and they've simply failed. And we just don't know that at the moment. There are lots of, you know, indications in both directions. But that really needs to get resolved before you're likely to see any breakthrough in talks.
And always a pleasure, Bloomberg senior reporter for international affairs, Mark Champion, with us this morning. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we're seeing this sell-off continue with the U.S. futures. Dow futures right now, 200 points lower. That's down 0.6%. S&P E-mini futures are down 25 points. And the NASDAQ futures, 63 points lower. In London, the FTSE 100 down 1.6%. And the Europe Stock 600 down just over 2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, where have all the dip buyers gone? We'll put that question to Joe Quinlan, head of Chief Investment Office Market Strategy at Merrill Lynch, Bank of America Private Bank. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Shelling in Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, continued overnight as Russia carries on with its invasion. It's pleading for help from its most powerful ally, China. But White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki warns that there would be significant consequences for Beijing if it provides assistance to Moscow.
They only make up 15% or 15 to 20% of the world's economy. The G7 countries make up more than 50%. So there are a range of tools at our disposal.
Jen Psaki was speaking after officials from China and the U.S. met in Rome for their first high-level talk since the invasion began. The Biden administration calls talks constructive, but former U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper tells Bloomberg Sound On China won't side with the West in this conflict.
There is a strategic partnership that has emerged over the years between Moscow and Beijing. This invasion of Ukraine by Russia, however, has placed China in somewhat of an uncomfortable position.
Mark Esper believes it's unlikely Russia would cross into a NATO country. President Biden reportedly considering a trip to Europe to rally support for NATO allies.
Well, John, the war in Ukraine will have a big impact on the economies of all 50 states here in the U.S. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Although the U.S. has limited trade ties with Russia and Ukraine, businesses from beer breweries in Missouri to semiconductor plants in California would see an impact. That's according to an analysis by Moody's Analytics. Energy-producing states like Alaska and North Dakota would do better than others since the conflict is boosting oil prices. But the two states most dependent on cars and driving, Alabama and Mississippi, would likely suffer disproportionately from an energy shock. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. U.S. futures stocks overseas, they're falling. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell almost 6%. The Europe 600 Index down more than 2%. The NASDAQ 100 entering the day in bear market territory.
Well, back in Washington, John, another Joe Manchin roadblock for the Biden administration. The West Virginia senator will oppose Biden's nomination of Sarah Bloom Raskin as the Federal Reserve's vice chair of supervision, a vote that's likely needed to confirm her. It comes as the Fed begins its two-day meeting where it's expected to raise interest rates. Again, futures are lower. S&P futures down about 16 points. Dow futures down 134. And NASDAQ futures down about 27. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barnett with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The mayors of New York City and Washington, D.C. are calling on the public to help catch a suspected gunman targeting homeless men in the two cities. Police say two shootings over the weekend in New York matched three attacks in Washington earlier this month. In each case, homeless men were shot as they slept in the street. Two of the shootings were fatal, one in Washington and one in New York. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
The overproliferation of guns in our cities is creating an encounter that's causing bloodshed across our nation.
Mayor Bowser, along with Mayor Adams, announced the reward to catch the gunman.
That's $70,000 reward, and 25 in New York City, 25 in Washington, D.C., and 20,000 from the ATF.
D.C. Mayor Bowser says they are calling on residents who are homeless, both in D.C. and New York City, to seek shelter. Idaho could have a new stricter abortion law similar to Texas. The Idaho bill, now heading to the governor's desk, bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. 1 year after signing the American Rescue Plan into law, President Biden is touting U.S. economic growth. In a speech at the National League of Cities Conference in D.C., the president linked rising fuel costs to the invasion of Ukraine.
Make no mistake, the current spike in gas prices is largely the fault of Vladimir Putin. It has nothing to do with the American Rescue Plan.
President Biden also says, according to experts, the American Rescue Plan contributed to only 0.3% to inflation. China has reported more than a doubling of new COVID-19 cases as it faces by far its biggest outbreak since the early days of the pandemic. The National Health Commission said today that more than 3,500 new locally spread cases had been identified in the latest 24-hour period, up from more than 1,300 a day earlier. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And some breaking news crossing the Bloomberg. The UK just announcing a ban on exports to Russia of luxury goods. Michael, thank you very much. And it's now 5:36 on Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. No secret, the Giants need to vastly improve their offensive line. Don't have a lot of salary cap space, but on opening day of free agency, the Giants did cut a deal with Mark Glowinski, starting guard with Indianapolis the last few seasons. Another guard, Laken Tomlinson, joining the Jets from the 49ers. Jets also got tight end C.J. Azuma from Cincinnati. They re-signed Braxton Berrios, who was an All-Pro last season, as a kick returner. Tight end Evan Engram leaving the Giants, headed to Jacksonville. Quarterback news, Mitchell Trubisky now expected to be Ben Roethlisberger's replacement in Pittsburgh. Teddy Bridgewater going to Miami. It'll be his fourth team in 4 years. Josh Donaldson joined the Yankees in Tampa the day after the big trade last year. Donaldson, while with Minnesota, accused Garrett Cole of using sticky stuff. Cole then struck Donaldson out three times.
Whatever happened. Obviously, he felt like it was a better idea to probably strike me out, which he did a few times. So, at the end of the day, I'm happy to be on the same team and not have to strike out against him more.
The Yankees had been in talks with Oakland about acquiring first baseman Matt Olson. He's instead headed to Atlanta, which means Freddie Freeman will likely not re-sign with the Braves. Nets played tonight in Orlando. The unvaccinated Kyrie Irving couldn't play but did attend Sunday's home game, also went into the Nets locker room. City of New York fined the Nets $50,000. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
New Jersey Transit is projecting a $550 million revenue shortfall in fiscal 2026, even with federal COVID aid and more customers returning post-pandemic. The forecast is part of a budget proposal notice for the legislature that's up for a vote next week at the Board of Directors' monthly meeting. It assumes no fare increases for the next 4 years, with New Jersey opening applications for permits to sell legal weed at retail shops today, and Governor Phil Murphy projecting the market will open soon, bringing millions of dollars in new revenue. NJ.com reports the cannabis business community is abuzz with activity ahead of the state's largest industry conference Wednesday in Carteret. You can add Farmington, Connecticut-based Otis Elevators to the growing list of American companies making the choice to not take any new business in Russia. Otis saw about 2% of its business come from Russia last year. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Yeah, it's now 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about how new COVID lockdowns in China could delay your Amazon or Walmart order.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Grubhub boosts the pay for its drivers as high gas prices squeeze earnings.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Grubhub is boosting pay for its drivers to counter record high gas prices.
I'm Scott Carr on WDCH in Washington. I'm reporting on some Beltway engineers working on making the perfect mask for possible future pandemics.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
As Congress has doled out almost $6 trillion in COVID relief funds, crooks and con men have lined up to get their share. They've created fake companies, misstated their earnings, and otherwise conspired to siphon off taxpayers' money. Last week, the Justice Department announced that it was investigating some $8 billion worth of fraud. The Secret Service estimates that $100 billion may have been misappropriated in total. What can government do to better monitor this emergency spending? A data portal that tracks big government outlays in real time would make it easier for officials to monitor for fraud and make more informed decisions about how to respond. Upgrading antiquated technology would also help. 80% of the federal IT budget is spent maintaining legacy systems, while investment in new ones often goes unfunded. Finally, the government needs to stop creating incentives for fraud. Community groups that steer federal funds to the needy are typically paid a fixed percentage of outlays in administrative fees. Such a system is simply asking to be abused. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPI and Go. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures indicate a lower open on Wall Street. Dow futures down 124 points. S&P futures 13 points lower. The NASDAQ futures down 22 points.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are falling as a relentless sell-off in Chinese shares buffeted global markets, adding to concerns about the war in Ukraine and imminent Federal Reserve tightening. U.S. stock index futures are lower as well, and crude oil is extending a retreat. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 93, NASDAQ futures down 12, the DAX in Germany is down 1.7%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.10%. 0%. The yield on the two-year, 1.82%. NYMEX crude oil is down more than 6%. It's down $6.32 at $96.71 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.5% or $29.40 at $19.31.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.0999 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3046. The yen's at 117.99. And Bitcoin this morning is down about 0.3% at $38,600. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. China's foreign minister says his country wants to avoid being impacted by U.S. sanctions over Russia's war. Wang Yi says China is not a party to the crisis, nor does it want the sanctions to affect China. He spoke in a phone call with his Spanish counterpart to discuss the war in Ukraine. There are concerns among investors that Chinese companies will face U.S. sanctions after American officials said Russia requested military and financial assistance from Beijing. In the NBA, they have fined the Nets $50,000 for letting Kyrie Irving into their locker room during a game in which he was unable to play because he is not vaccinated against COVID-19. The Warriors beat the Wizards 120.
26112. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live at the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time to get you set up for the trading day ahead with our next guest. Joe Quinlan is head of Chief Investment Office Market Strategy at Merrill Lynch, Bank of America Private Bank. Joe, thanks for getting up early to be with us this morning. With the possibility of China being embroiled in Russia's war on Ukraine, how does this change the investment landscape and maybe your thesis this morning?
Well, John, it depends on the sanctions possibly or whatever pressure the U.S. and Europe are going to put on China to stay out of the conflict. So that's got investors overlaying that as China Omicron, the variant ripping through China as we speak. So there's a lot. You know, China now is clearly in focus for investors. It's triangulated, U.S., Russia, and China, and it just adds more uncertainty and the volatility. So we're set up for, you know, still the hard assets, whether it's commodities, energy, real estate. We still like that space. And then, of course, we've got the Fed raising rates today.
Yeah. Is China, quick question on China before I move on. Is it investable or uninvestable at this point?
It depends on, you know, your risk level. I mean, let's face it, China is closing, becoming inward, but there's some companies there that could be investable long term. But right now, we are underweight or neutral at best on the emerging markets, China included. So we're not putting any new capital into the emerging markets right now.
You know, one of the curious things in all this, in the stock rally that we've seen since the end of 2018, the dips seem to have been met each time with a volley of strong buying. So where are the dip buyers right now?
Well, they're still hibernating, albeit it's almost spring. They're looking at inflation, you know, running hotter than expected, the Fed being hot behind the curve, Omicron variant in China, and then, of course, the conflict in the heart of Europe. So they're on the sidelines until we get some more clarity. I mean, some investors just not brave enough to buy this dip, and I think that's going to be the sentiment here near term.
Well, the valuations, they've gotten cheaper, but are they cheap enough to buy?
Not just yet. Maybe, perhaps in the U.S. I would say in the United States, when you look across the screen, like on a Bloomberg, there's some markets in bear territory, some really beaten up parts of the world, whether it's Hong Kong, parts of Europe. But really, it's that fog of war that's keeping a lot of these dip buyers on the sidelines just yet, even with these valuations. We need a trigger. We need some type of ceasefire. We need some kind of clarity to trigger to step in and buy these beaten up equities.
Okay, Fed, you mentioned the Fed is are the Fed policymakers going to exacerbate the rush for the exits for risk assets with their two-day meeting that starts today?
I don't think so. I mean, hopefully there's nothing that the markets don't already know that Jay Powell's going to do. We're looking for 25 basis points hike, and really for the rest of the year, every Fed meeting, a 25 basis point increase. So I think the Fed is kind of like on course and in sync with the markets. The biggest issue will be from the Fed, the communication, their outlook. Has anything changed in terms of their expectations for inflation? So I think nothing real dramatic comes out of the meeting. But the bigger issue, 50 basis points the next time, intermeeting hikes, we'll see. But no, I think it's baked into the cake what the Fed's going to do.
What's the data going to tell us this week? Among other things, we're going to get retail sales, PPI as well. What's your position on that?
Well, we see the consumer clearly becoming more cautious, whether it's the University of Michigan sentiment, just some of the data points that we're looking at. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of the incoming data retail-wise is weakening because of the downward move to sentiment. PPI, no doubt, more pressure coming vis-a-vis the commodity complex, rising wages. So, you know, sentiment is going to be down, prices up, and that's kind of that struggle that we're still going to be in, markets have to navigate.
Is there evidence of demand destruction with prices where they are right now?
I don't think so, John, not yet, but it's getting there in terms of, you know, everyone, you know, the first thing you do before you stop spending gasoline is complain about it. So everyone's complaining about it, but we're not there just yet. But maybe when the airlines start raising prices, we're going to get in cars instead of planes. So we're getting close, but we're not there just yet.
Thank you, sir. Joe Quinlan, head of Chief Investment Office Market Strategy at Merrill Lynch and Bank of America Private Bank, with us this morning. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. And now here are one of the legal stories that we're watching this morning. Four men are on trial for conspiring to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction. Prosecutors allege the men were members of extremist paramilitary groups angry over the Democrats' COVID-19 restrictions. But defense attorneys say there was no plot and the men were entrapped by undercover FBI agents. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to the former U.S. Attorney for Eastern Michigan, Matthew Schneider, a partner at Honigman.
The defense raised the defense of entrapment. They said that the FBI tricked the defendants into agreeing to the plot to kidnap Whitmer, and the FBI drove the whole thing. So tell us about that defense.
So an entrapment defense is saying, essentially, I'm not the one who came up with this idea. I'm not the one who really wanted to do this. And but for the government, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have tried to put this plan into place except for the government goading me on. And some of these defendants have said that they really had no experience in tactical training and using weapons. But Dan, this undercover FBI informant, is the one who trained them. And he's the one who encouraged them. So that's the entrapment defense. And the government, of course, is going to use the jury instruction for entrapment. And there is signs in there that the government can point to say that you weren't entrapped. And that's really based on the fact that the defendants were what they call predisposed to commit the crime. That means they already had this thought in their mind before the government introduced the undercover agents. And under the law, if you have that predisposition, then entrapment is not a valid defense.
Is it a high-risk strategy to defend based on entrapment because you're conceding that some crimes may have been committed?
It is, because it's an affirmative defense where you have to admit to certain things, but say, similar to self-defense, say, I did this, however. Now, it's important to note that as this trial has played out, it's not as clear-cut as the government has thought, in my opinion, because entrapment is not the only defense. There's a separate defense that is being laid out by at least one of the defendants to say that this is all really big talk. We did not intend this, but we talked really big. And we came up with some wild ideas. We talked about what are some ways we could go and take out Governor Whitmer. Well, one way is we could cut all the trees down between Indiana and Michigan because that would create a stir and would prevent people from getting into the state. Or we could tie a kite to the governor and fly her over Lake Michigan. Now, that's all nonsense, right? And the defense in this case is, look, they said all these things when they were drunk and when they were stoned. Another thing that they said was, we're going to kidnap her. And so all of this is in one big pot. We didn't mean it. And it's all just a bunch of big talk.
Attorney for Eastern Michigan, Matthew Schneider, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Again, futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down about 18 points. Dow futures down 144 and NASDAQ futures down 49. And the 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds, yield 2.10%. Yield on the two-year 1.82%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.